You have your Bibles, you can turn with us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. The Bible said, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. This tabernacle was one that Moses made for God. And in Hebrews over here in chapter 8, it said in verse 5, who served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern, so to thee in the mount. And the shewbread represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And Aaron and his sons would eat the bread. This was more like spiritual food. And we all know tonight that Jesus, he's the bread of life. He's our spiritual food. And how that in verse 3 it said, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went away into the first tabernacle, accomplished the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself for the heirs of the people. It's a pretty deep message here. I try to study it the best I could. Lord, help me, and I'll preach it the best I can. But as I studied this message here, and I thought, Lord, laid on my heart to preach on beyond the veil. Beyond the veil. To have a blemish and spot, that means to be ashamed, and it means a moral disgrace. To be without spot or blemish means to be without blame, fault, or rebuke. Priests came from the seed of Aaron. A total of 80 priests from Aaron to Christ. There were qualifications to be a priest, and that's in Leviticus chapter 6, 21. You had to be without blemish to make an offering. You had to be without blemish to go into the veil. Holy of Holies. You cannot be blind, lame, deformed, flat nose, broken foot, broken hand, crooked back, dwarf, eye blemish, scabbed, or any extra body parts. You can have none of those. You had to have holy garments, not just any clothes would do. And in Leviticus chapter 16, in verse 4, the Bible said, he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. You know, tonight we have a lot to be thankful tonight. What I've read tonight, there's going to be a lot of us, some of us, be disqualified already. And in Leviticus 22 and 17, you also read about the animals. Perfect animals could only be offered for a vow sacrifice. Perfect animals had to have just about the same qualifications as a priest. Imperfect animals could be offered for a free will offering, but not for a vow. Because of God's Son, Jesus Christ, we can come lame now. And I see my apprentice coming up here tonight, bringing that crutch. But because of Jesus Christ, he can come before the throne of God. And because of Jesus Christ, we don't have to have fancy clothes anymore. The holy garments. And no more sacrifices. I thought about how that when Sister Karenina had that wreck out there, and everybody went out there to see if she was all right. And she didn't have to worry about going and go getting a priest or having holy garments or going into the tabernacle and waiting on the priest or anything. But she can cry out to the Lord right there and then. Have to wait once a year for a high priest to make an offering. No longer have to do that anymore. You can pray anywhere and anytime. And you can come boldly before the throne. In Hebrews chapter 4. Do a lot of reading. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But then it goes on, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I like that. But was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. You know, you can be tempted. You can be tempted, and Christ was tempted also. And you can all overcome that temptation through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, every one of us in here can say that, hey, I was tempted. But when you start saying, in the name of Jesus, you know, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, devil. And if you hold on to that, that temptation goes away. We don't have to fear and tremble because of Jesus Christ. We can come boldly. I was reading how if the priest went in there and he had if he had sin upon his life, God could strike him dead. So you know, you and I, we can come boldly before the throne. In Hebrews 9:7, and I read that. But into the second went the high priest. Alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. And not without blood he did not go in. And I thought and the grounds that you and I, when we approach the throne, when God sees you and I, he sees the blood that was applied to our life. You know, we don't just go from a sinner right on into the throne. The blood is applied. That's the way the blood is applied to your life first, and then you can go in to the throne of God, and because he sees the blood that was applied to your life. I wish there was more young people here. I wanted to preach this to them. But I thought how that when I was at the house and I was reading this, every time someone was the sin in the Old Testament, he always took it out on an animal. An animal that did nothing wrong, and they would go out and they would sacrifice an animal because of people who would sin. And I thought and then God sent his son, and he became a sacrifice, and still people are sinning today. And I thought that if that was all changed in you and I, how would it be like if they took one of our family members and made them a sacrifice because of you and I? We went out and sinned. I thought about that, and I wonder how many people would live right then. You know, don't take my relative. Don't take my mom or my dad or my brother or sister, but still, people still sin today. And 2 Peter chapter 2, and the Bible said, for if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment. And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah. Spare not Sodom and Gomorrah. Spare not Lot's wife for looking back. Yeah, that is a very strong scripture. And people just think anything's going to go. You know, sin will not enter in. Sin will not enter in. I thought, how could you even think God would even spare you for your sins? You know, in 2 Timothy 3:16, the Word of God, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That reproof means to rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is, I mean, people just read something and they just and they look at it, well, that don't really mean what it says. Yes, that does mean what it says. And I thought about how, you know, folks, you know, Paul speaks real good here in Corinthians chapter 13, how that, that just these 13 verses here, and how people say, well, I have the gifts of tongue, I have the gifts, I have great faith and be able to remove mountains and everything. But listen what Paul says in 13 and verse 2, and he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing, and have not love. And he goes on, and you read these, and you know, sometimes we get a little upset with our brother and our sister or something, what they do, and we don't want to speak to them for a while. But you read verse 11, and listen what he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that's what a child will do. A child will puff up and be mad and upset, and that's how some adults are. But, you know, Paul said, I put away those childish things. You know, you'll be a better person, a better Christian, when your brother or sister comes against you and you just go over and you put your arm around him and tell him you still love him. I still love him. I still appreciate him. It works a lot. And you know, we are to be holy, for God is holy. You know, and I try to witness. This boy told me he goes to I guess a worldly church, more or less. You know, they don't like for me to tell them, but I tell them how the Bible is, how the Bible reads. And he wanted to take me to a Reds game Thursday, and I said, I don't go to no Reds game. You know, when I got saved, I come out from among the world. That's what the Bible says. I no longer go to King's Island. I no longer go to all the amusement parks or anything like that. You know, I gave up my television, you know, because I find that the Word of God is against television and a lot of other things in the world. But in Leviticus 19, and the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And in Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And there's some scriptures and some verses I wrote down. What do we do? Make with our body, make it a living sacrifice. Make it holy. Make it acceptable to God. Yield it to God. Dead to sin. Reckon it alive to God. Refuse its slavery to sin, mortify its deeds, body free from fornication, glorify God in it. Glorify God in it. That's where we come to the church, to glorify God in our bodies. Make it full of light. You know, I'm a Christian, and I want everybody to know that I'm a Christian. I want to share the Word of God with them. Some people are saved, but you couldn't tell they were saved. They're not full of that light. And, you know, I want, and it goes on and says, refuse to defile it and make it a fit temple of the Holy Spirit. And the book of Corinthians, Brother Mike read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And the way I look at that and what I've read from God's word, and I believe that when you start cutting your hair, you start defiling the temple. When I believe that the clothes that you wear, certain clothes that you should not wear according to the Word of God, you start to defile the temple. And the makeup, you start to defile the temple. Jewelry, you defile the temple. You start to become a spot and a blemish. In James chapter 4, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. A lot of amens, but that's the word of God. And it is the truth. It is the truth. In James 4 and 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. I was reading a little bit in Ezekiel where the preachers are to blow the trumpet, more or less sound the trumpet, you know, and get up here and preach the word of God, because they're going to be accountable for what they preach and what they tell folks. And I want to tell people the truth. A sacrifice is what we give up. It is not something that we lay up. The beautiful life is a sacrificial life. That's what the Lord laid on my heart to preach. There's so much. I think there's over 50 chapters of the Bible that pertains to the tabernacle. And it's a lot of studying to, because it all it relates to Christ. And it's good studying. And you know how that they put up animal skin and everything, and it might have not looked pretty with all that animal skin, but beyond that animal skin was worth it all. And that's, you know, and beyond the veil, you know, when we approach God's throne, there's so much more right there. And I'm thankful tonight that that we can all come before the throne with boldness. And you can come lame, you can come crippled, you can come with a broken hand and a broken foot, you know, and God will hear you. And I praise God for everything he's done in my life. Find a place to pray.